The month of December is where we reflect on the divine infancy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're in the Advent season preparing for Christmas Day. We've also celebrated the Our Lady of Guadalupe feast days, and we've also celebrated the Immaculate Conception. What a beautiful time, to be Catholic. By the way, in case you didn't know, the Immaculate Conception is the patroness of the United States. This was promulgated in 1848 by the U.S. bishops. Also, Our Lady of Guadalupe is the patroness of the Americas. Yep, the Americas. So these are some important Marian feast days in the month of December as we continue in this Advent season, a time of pilgrimage, prayer, penance, and preparation for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Terry?
Amen. I want to also recommend people to read Archbishop Vigano's Christmas message for 2021. Go to LifeSite News. It's a powerful reading. Anything that man sends out, people, please read it. Jess, this is going to be a great show because we have to start off with, obviously, the soul food, the gospel. And Bishop Sheen's got a very special guest on his train today. And then we're going to cover this interesting topic. Vaccinations are working exactly as they were designed. What's that all about? You'll be surprised to hear that also. And then Milo from Church Militant is going to be interviewed by us about how he came to Christ and how he is able to minister to people with same-sex attraction and much, much more. So stay with us. It's going to be a great show. But before we get into all these topics, we want some soul food. Jess, can you read the gospel for today?
Absolutely. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening.
Amen.
Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Mm-hmm. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Something I want to say about that. Number one, Joseph came from royal lineage, as you see here. Mm-hmm. He came from the house of David, so he was actually Prince Joseph. Mm-hmm. Also, the Blessed Virgin Mary, her name, the word Mary is an Coptic name that the Jews borrowed. The word Miriam in the Coptic language means the beautiful one. It means the perfect one. It means the one beloved by God. The Jews adopted the name Miriam after being captive to the Egyptians for 430 years. So they thought, well, what a beautiful name. So they began naming their Israeli daughters Miriam, but that's an Egyptian name. But in that language, Miriam means the beautiful one, the perfect one, and the one beloved by God. Continue. It says, and coming to her, this is the angel Gabriel, he said to her, hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Something very important about that sentence. There's only two people in the whole Bible called full of grace. Our Lord Jesus Christ is called full of grace in John 1:14. Our Lady is called full of grace in Luke 1:26. Nobody else is called full of grace. So when somebody tells you, I'm full of grace, tell them you're full of baloney. Because there's only two people called full of grace. The rest of us are called to grow in grace in 2 Peter 3:18. But there's only two people that are called full of grace. It says now, but she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Again, that recurring theme in the Bible, do not be afraid. And also you have found favor with God. What does that mean? Favor, that means grace. That means that God has predestined Mary to be the mother of the Son of God. That's the favor that she found. It goes on to say, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. The name Jesus in Hebrew means God saves, subject predicate, Yeshua, God saves. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High. The Most High in the Old Testament is God the Father. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now, something interesting there. This is good news. Notice that the kingdom of Jesus is the extension of the kingdom of David, and that kingdom is the one holy Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is the continuation of the Davidic dynasty in the New Testament. And notice that the Bible promises it's going to last forever. There's no expiration date to the Catholic Church. However, there is an expiration date to the kingdom of Satan. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, when Christ comes back, his kingdom will end and he will be thrown in hell. We continue. But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Now, there's so much there to unpack right there. First of all, what Our Lady's telling the angel, basically she's saying, look it, how am I going to get pregnant if I've made a vow of chastity to God? That's the tradition of the church, that she made this vow to chastity as a young girl in the temple. And so this is why she's telling the angel, what are you talking about? I'm going to be pregnant. I'm going to have a baby. I've taken an oath of chastity to God forever. That's the interpretation of the fathers of the church. And look at it. It says the Holy Spirit came upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Those terms there in the Hebrew denote the act of a husband overshadowing his wife in intimacy. So it goes to show you the incredible intimate relationship that Our Lady had with the Trinity. Then it says, and behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month of her, for she who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God. Mary said, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Then the angel departed from her, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well said, Jess.
Look at the last sentence there. The reason why Mary is exalted is because of her humility. Look at the quintessential virtue of humility when she says, I am the, she didn't say, I'm the queen mother, I'm the Gebira, I'm the crusher of demons. And she's all that, by the way. She's all that. But she didn't say that. She says, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. This is the epitome of humility. This is why she has other titles like Virgin Most Powerful, Mary Crusher of Demons, Mary, you know, dressed in battle array, all these military terms, Queen Mother Gebira, it all stems from her humility. Terry?
Well said, Jesse. And I think of what Sheen always says, if I do any good, it's because it comes from God, and I thank him for it. Yeah. Let's bring the smartest guy into the room, Archbishop Sheen. Full Sheen ahead. Jesse, he has a special guest. His special guest is John the Baptist. And some people think Fulton Sheen for the 20th century was the John the Baptist.
Mm.
And we need to be John the Baptist. So here's the meditation that they were discussing. And put your seatbelt on. This is my little prayer book I read called My Meditations on the Gospel from the Confraternity of the Precious Blood. When I read this one the other day, I said, man, this is awesome. So here it comes, Bishop Sheen and John the Baptist. So Fulton Sheen's reflection, he says, dear Lord, it's almost terrifying thing to realize the influence one person's life can have on souls. That's you, our listener, and me and Jesse. It's so clear in this scene that the crowds were inspired not so much by the ideals as by a person. Fine ideals are attractive, but people who live by them are irresistible. And John the Baptist did that. How wonderful that John didn't disappoint the crowds that day. If he had swayed one inch from his ideals, he would have lost them. They would have been absolutely convinced that his teaching was just another version of an old hypocrisy. But John stuck to his ideals, fought for his principles, and set their hearts on fire. So here it is, Bishop Sheen's prayer. My King, whether I like it or not, souls are going to be influenced by me, for better or for worse. That's you and me, Jesse, and everyone listening. I am somebody's hero. It might be your son, your daughter. I can't escape it. And those who know me and watch me aren't influenced so much by what I say as by what I am. If I am true, if I live by my ideals, they will be inspired. And if I'm a hypocrite, I will lose them. You will lose them. Here's the cash value right here, Jess, for all of us. Make me true. Don't let me say what I don't really mean completely. Don't let me stand for something I'm not willing to fight for and to die for. Let my ideals be your ideals, Lord. Let them come from my heart. Then give me a heart to live them and never back down because of human respect. Jesse, human respect is what is causing problems in the culture, in the church, in politics. It's because the truth is what sets us free. And John the Baptist is an example for you and me today.
Yeah, too many people are concerned about what people are going to think about them.
Who cares?
And we should only care about what God thinks about us. What God thinks about what comes out of your mouth and your actions. Bishop Strickland and others have said, when I die, I'm not going to be judged by the U.S. bishop.
That's
I'm
right.
going to be judged by God.
Yep.
And that goes for all of us. I'm not going to be judged by the Supreme Court,
nope.
Roberts, and
not even
and
the Pope, Jesse.
No, I'm not going to be judged by the Pope, and I will be judged by Jesus Christ. So let's all be God pleasers and not man pleasers. Terry, just one good bit of good news.
I love good news.
Good news file. Former Covington Catholic student Nick Sandman announced on Friday that he reached a settlement with NVC Universal. So this 19-year-old, Terry, is basically cashing in on all these networks that he's suing.
They don't
want to go to court, Terry.
No.
They're settling out of court with him. This is the third major news outlet that settles out of court with this 19-year-old for smearing his name in the media. Good for him.
I would say good for him, and I hope he gives a lot of that money to nonprofits to further the good cause of our faith in Jesus Christ. Hey, when we come back, fascinating topic, Jesse. You nailed it on this. David Horowitz, he says, the vaccines are working exactly as they were designed. But wait a minute, how are they designed? Well, that's what we're going to talk about when we come back. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Okay. Hope you're having a happy, holy Advent season as we wait for the joyful hope of our coming, the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. The first Advent we'll be celebrating Christmas Day. But remember, we're also celebrating with a joyful expectation the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Daniel Horowitz has written an article, and he's asking if the vaccines are working. He says they're working exactly as they were designed.
Yeah.
George Orwell is quoted here.
Yes.
George Orwell says, some ideas are so stupid that only intellectuals believe them.
Hey, read that again, because I think there's a lot of wisdom there.
Well, it's Prager says the same thing. He goes, anytime you hear something stupid on radio, I know the person went to college. No, Prager's always saying that. He goes,
as soon
as somebody says something stupid on the radio, Dennis Prager says, what college did you go to? Because he says, you can't come up with that. A common sense blue collar person can't come up with this stupidity.
Right.
And this plandemic, scandemic, Terry, once again, only intellectuals are the ones that are buying into this. He says, there's nowhere to run or hide from the growing observations that the closer we come to universal vaccination rates in many countries, the worse the pandemic has become. We've also known that leaky vaccines have the potential to create viral enhancement, but the recent data is unmistakable. At the same time, the COVID cultists are panicking over an emerging variant that might actually be the mildest of all, while mainly affecting the vaccinated. This is a perfect refutation of the max vaccination push. All signs point to the need to suspend the shots and focus exclusively on monoclonal antibodies and other early treatment. Or is there another ulterior motive? At this point, we better pray that Omicron becomes dominant in the U.S.
Why?
As quickly as possible.
Yeah.
The most devastating observation of 2021 is that more people have died from COVID under the mass vaccination regime during the existing variant than before there was a single jab. According to the CDC's data table for daily death trends,
here it comes.
There have been 127,000, 184 COVID deaths from September 1st through November 30th this year, which is 45% greater than the 87,829 recorded deaths over the same period in 2020. And some of the deaths from this year are still lagging and likely to be updated.
Yes,
in other words, more people are dying, Terry.
Yeah, that's a fact. We mentioned that last week in our reports. But, you know, typically viruses mutate down and become less
virulent.
Virulent. Last year, there was much less buildup of immunity. We had fewer treatment options, and we had during the peak of the winter wave in January. there were 19 recorded deaths. Are you ready, folks? This is unbelievable. For 15 to 17-year-olds. Really? And we're going to vaccinate all? Come on. In August, there were vaccinations. Vaccines began to leak, and we likely experienced vaccine mediated viral enhancements. Kids noticeably got sicker, although deaths were still very rare. There were 63 recorded deaths among the age here. Here's the point, Jesse. As I said before, if I don't get vaccinated, I'm 100% protected against the vaccine. Mm-hmm. And I'm 99.8% protected against COVID. You know, that's just a good deal. So what is going on here? We're going to come to at the end where this is going. Follow the money. Continue, Jess.
Imagine if we put all the funds for the leaky shots into the monoclonal antibodies and an outpatient treatment regime built on the latest research of dozens of therapeutics that have shown promise in combating the virus.
No money there.
Yet rather than focus on alternatives and investigate what went wrong with the injections, our establishment leaders are doubling down even as the failure is undeniably in plain sight. As such, it's hard to escape the sinister's conclusion that they intended this all along.
Exactly.
Consider the fact that Cornell University has an ironclad vaccine and mask mandate, yet 3.5% of the entire campus tested positive last week alone. So the school has now switched to online learning. Consider the fact that that before the NFL season started, 52 of 53 players on the LA Rams roster were vaccinated. Now they lead the league with 11 players on the COVID list. Consider the fact that Newton, Massachusetts has one of the highest vax rates in the world with 97% of the entire population vaccinated, including 99% of the 12 to 15 year olds and 87% of the 5 to 11 year olds. Yet despite this and indoor mask mandates, the town has more cases than this time last year and is likely headed towards a record. Here's another one.
Jesse, just before you do it, these facts are undeniable. This doesn't work. This is the big one for South Korea. Hit it.
Consider the fact that a country like South Korea barely recorded deaths during the entire pandemic, but now has many more deaths and cases and deaths with nearly all adults vaccinated and one of the highest vaccination rates for a country that large of over 50 million people. And consider the fact that England and France, both with very high vaccination rates and large prior COVID waves, have recently set case records. Likewise, Portugal, with the highest double vax rate in Europe, now has more cases than during the winter period. And several months ago, a Harvard study published in the European Journal of Epidemiology, the only one to look at thousands of U.S. countries and different countries to study the correlation between vaccination rates and case rates, found zero correlation. In fact, the trend line suggests a marginally positive association such that countries with higher percentage of population fully vaccinated have higher COVID-19 cases per 1 million people.
Just the fact.
Concluded the author. That's the whole gist of the
that
article.
Is, right there. And you know, Jesse.
That sentence right there.
It is. Wait, repeat it one more time because I want to make a comment about that. Say it more.
Yeah. This is the gist of the entire article. Yeah. This is from a Harvard study. It says, the trend line suggest a marginally positive association such that countries with higher percentage of population fully vaccinated have higher COVID-19 cases per 1 million people.
There you have it. And you know, Jesse, this article is beautiful, but what it leaves out is all the people who committed suicide because of the pandemic, so to speak, and how many people lost their jobs, divorces. I have a whole list of people from Social Security because they closed the doors of Social Security because of this. People weren't getting their benefits. They had kids with cancer. They had other people had needs that were hurt, and they all got zip. And so here's the point. My conclusion is this, Jesse. The medicine that they're giving us is far worse than the disease.
Yep, that's what the article says here. The shots actually make the virus more virulent for everyone and then offer a degree of preventative protection for its customers while screwing everyone else. Well said, blue collar language, but that's what people understand.
That's what we do. Hey, Jesse, the bottom line is this. I know people are saying, well, why are you guys continually talking about the COVID-19, because I'll tell you what, everywhere on the planet, it's being affected negatively, and we need more voices of common sense to speak the truth. And this article is just putting out the facts. And as long as we go longer and longer, more of the statistics are going to come out to show that this was really planned to cut down the population. Let's just be honest, Jess.
Yeah, let's not forget that Fauci warned from day one that you need a perfect vaccine, because a half-baked one runs the risk of making the virus worse. That's what he said.
He did say that. Now, you don't hear that now, but that's what he said.
No. In an interview with Mark Zuckerberg last March, Fauci said in response to those who wanted rush vaccines, he says, quote, if you vaccinate someone and they make an antibody response and then you get exposed and infected, does the response that you induce actually enhance the infection and make it worse? The only way you'll know that is if you do an extended study, not on volunteers, but on the public. Then he said this would not be the first time if it happened that a vaccine that looked good in initial safety actually made people worse. Fauci continued saying this when the Facebook CEO pressed him on rushing forward with a vaccine. Then a month later, medical dictator Fauci, he warned at a press conference that, quote, the worst possible thing that you could do is vaccinate somebody and create enhancement. So we've seen the results of following medical dictator Fauci, and it's no longer enough to oppose the mandates. It's time to stand up, Terry, and yell stop to this entire vicious cycle at the top of our lungs.
And Jesse, let me give you an example. I had my grandson over the weekend with me, and I took him to the little private airport, and I took him to the train station because he loves it. He's almost 2 years old. He's about 23 months old. And we got there, and there was a woman with her little baby who happens to be 27 months old, just over 2 years old. But because the woman was so scared of COVID, she never brought the child outside because she was thinking he was going to get COVID. And the little boy can't walk. He can't talk. He can't communicate. He's just like, he's way behind in his studies and as a child. Why? Because they were so scared. And she said, well, how is it that your grandson is already talking and walking and he's so alert and he's pointing out things and he's, you know, I said, because we didn't hide him because we thought it would be best that he should be out there, you know, and doing meeting people. And I mean, he's very friendly. He wanted to say hi to your son, but your son was scared of him. So the point I'm trying to say is this is going to scar the young people. This whole situation, their education, their development is going to be marred for their lifetime. I hope it can be resolved. But this whole thing is diabolical because it's affecting the family. The family's really under attack by this.
There's the kids are already a year behind in most school districts around the U.S. They're a year behind in their studies. And look at this last sentence from the article. It says here, remember the FDA warned during the initial emergency approval period that the risk of vaccine-enhanced disease over time, potentially associated with waning immunity, remains unknown. And that's at a time when the FDA didn't know just how badly these shots would wane, or did it. Is it perhaps the intent to create the need for endless shots to fix the immune suppression and viral enhancement created by the first round? Just like a heroin addict who constantly needs more poison to temporarily assuage the latest withdrawal symptoms until he descends into a death spiral. Terry, this is what they're doing with the American public or the world public. It's a death jab. It's a death spiral, and they're doing it piecemeal, one vaccination after another.
And let's be honest, Jesse, billions of dollars are going into the pockets of these drug companies. And just think of what Israel, they're on their sixth shot right now. Israel, yeah. And they're still not getting anywhere. There's going to come a time like what Japan did last week, and they said, no, we're not going to vaccinate our kids. We saw too many negative things. It's going to be so obvious, I think, that I hope the world's going to say this was the biggest, this is my opinion, Jess, this is the biggest dupe job of the whole world in our lifetime, maybe even in the century. I probably For hundreds of years, we've never had this happen. Jesse, we've got our good friend Milo up coming from Church Militant. When we come back, please God, we can connect with him and talk about his deep faith in Jesus Christ and the Bride Church. Stay with us, family. You're going to like this interview.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're back to Terry and Jesse Show, and I think we're on with Milo Yiannopoulos.
Absolutely.
Milo, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're the ones that actually kept our time at the... In fact, we're the only ones that kept to the time at the Enough is Enough conference, so... You definitely remember who we were.
We got to get his audio. I want to hear what he has to say because I like his style of joking with us and telling us the bottom line, what needs to be done. Milo, are you there, my brother? And Mr. Engineer, we're still lacking audio. And I want to hear this man.
Yeah. As he comes on, Terry, we're going to be talking with Milo Yiannopoulos.
How about now?
Hey, you're on, brother. Brother, we were giving you a hard time out in Baltimore. Tell us that.
No. Listen, your listeners need to hear this.
Yeah.
Your listeners need to hear this. When you are hosting a live event, as I did for the Bishop's Enough is Enough rally for Church Milton, when you are hosting a live event, there isn't a single person, whether they are the kind of person who are kind of lucky to be on the roster, if you don't know what I mean, or whether it's kind of some international megastar, there isn't a single person who will ever stick to time. Nobody. And not only did these two heroes that you are tuned into, that hopefully you tune into every show, not only did these two heroes stick to time, they even ran a little under. They're like, don't worry, we got you. We're professionals. We know how it is, like sticking to time. We're fine. I'm like, yeah, sure, okay, whatever. So these two guys, I'm like, oh, there's two of them. They're going to be there for an hour. They went out, they killed it. They came back in with about 30 seconds to spare. I have never been so grateful for anybody in my life. It is so difficult trying to marshal, 50 different speakers, for a live event. But you guys are real pros, and you did me a solid. So thank you.
God bless you, Milo.
Milo, here's the big question that probably the audience wants to hear is, how did Milo Yiannopoulos go from a gay conservative activist speaker to Milo 2.0 Catholic disciple for Christ?
Amen.
I mean, what happened? Tell us about that journey quickly.
No, we want to hear
okay.
it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's not so much of a leap as it might sound. My first job in journalism was at the Catholic Herald, which is a conservative British Catholic newspaper in London. And so I was raised Catholic. I've always been a Catholic. The only real difference is that I finally started to live up to my responsibilities, I suppose. I don't know if it's that. I mean, I'm still the same guy. I still have the same sense of humor, unfortunately. Same potty mouth, unfortunately.
With a different haircut, by the way, I might add.
Well, it's a more humble haircut, isn't it? Right?
Yeah.
I'm still the same guy. I just started to live up to my responsibilities. Nobody is homosexual, but there are people who, as a result of things that happened to them early in childhood, have a cluster of disordered desires, and the vast majority of people give in to them and indulge in them. And I just decided that it was probably a good idea to not do that and tell other people to not do that after a lifetime of hypocrisy. I mean, I gave speeches, right? Catholic Church is right about everything. I gave a speech in 2015. People don't seem to remember that. And every time anybody asks me about homosexuality, like, yeah, well, if I could push a button and change it, I would. and then one day I just woke up and I'm like, well, actually I can. It's called self-control.
Amen.
I have the button. I pushed the button, I guess, or stopped pushing the button, depending on how you look at it. I just thought I should really do what I was telling other people to do for the better part of a decade, and life has begun to improve ever since.
Thank you, Jesus.
In some ways,
I know that you're producing along with Church Militant an audio book where you narrate the Psalms and Proverbs. Would you say that this is...
Oh, how nice of you to mention it, so
yeah,
I don't have to.
That's right. We've been in your seat, brother.
What a bunch of professionals. My goodness. No, you said, look, look, I love my brothers in Christ, but sometimes Catholics, they're not the most polished. They're not the most, you know, like they're very focused on the prayerful, pious, spiritual life. So sometimes, you know, the nuts and bolts of the media, of the polish, of the professional stuff kind of gets laid, but this is sort of by the wayside. What a breath of fresh air you two are. So I have narrated the Psalms and Proverbs in their entirety for Church Militant, and it's a 6-CD set. It's people seem to like it. It's been selling like hotcakes. I think it's outsold. Well, it's on course to outsell anything Michael's done, which makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable. But we're gonna go head to head with him. He's doing English language rosary next, and I'm gonna do a full Latin scriptural rosary.
Awesome!
Ooh,
awesome! Wow.
In January. So if you think Psalms and Proverbs sounds cool, it is cool, and you should buy it. It helps Church Militant, all the good work they do. So you can find it on the Church Militant website. It's if you want the CDs, if you're somebody that still has CDs, we have a CD set, or if you just want the digital file, so you can drop it into iTunes or drop it into whatever your player is. It's like $39. It's nothing for 6 CDs worth of Psalms and Proverbs and some prayers as well. And then January, as I say, I'm getting ahead of myself. In January, I'm doing the full Latin scriptural rosary. Awesome. I have a very Italianate sounding pronunciation of Latin from my first priest who was from Rome. So I think you'll like that too.
Milo, let me just ask you, let me jump in a question because I live in Southern California. Okay.
Sorry.
I knew if I said that, I set him up for that, Jess. Sorry. Yeah, you're right. But I'm happy camper, but I have a lot of people that I know as friends even who have same sex attraction. And I noticed you just said earlier in the show that you choose this. Can you explain what you mean by that, please?
So you certainly don't choose to have these desires, but you can definitely choose not to act on them.
Okay.
And, you know, homosexuality is a cluster of symptoms that arises from, the technical kind of, if you want to be really specific and technical about it, it arises in young men who did not form platonic bonds, meaningful, lifelong, sincere, authentic platonic bonds with other men when they were growing up. Now that could be the result of abuse. Often is abuse involved in there, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just dad was away or dad was crap. Yeah. And there weren't any male role models around. And that young boy was like dorky or nerdy and never really formed, you know, didn't play sports and didn't form healthy, normal relationships with other boys. That bit you can't really choose. You don't really have a lot of control over that. That's just something that happens to you. But you do have control over how you respond to it. And if you are a sincere, God-fearing, church-going Christian, if you are a Catholic, you have to want what's best for you. You have to want what God wants for you. And he wants you to wrestle against this, to fight against it with all your might and all your willpower. And it turns out that if you follow one of the treatment programs from people like Joseph Nicolosi,
yeah, and friend of ours,
or his... Yeah. Yeah, right. So his son is still alive. Right. Nicolosi Sr. is kind of the godfather of all this.
Yep.
Nicolosi Jr. is still doing his father's great work. And any therapist trained by either of them.
Yes, he's fantastic.
They're really the ones you want to go to. And it turns out that, you know, 1 in 10, I'm not going to over egg the pudding or juice the numbers for you. It's, you know, only about 1 in 10 of these men find that they are able to have happy, fulfilling, sexually active marriages with women, and many of those people have children, and then everybody else is somewhere in between. But what they all report is that their life has improved immeasurably, because dealing with these urges and impulses is really dealing with the trauma that created them in the first place, and that can only be a good thing for people who are still wrestling, because there are probably other things that are going on in your life. There are probably other character habits, maybe addictive behaviors, other kinds of things that are haunting you that are also stem from that same trauma. So whatever your success rate with the sexual stuff, finding out what caused it in the first place and fixing that will make your life better regardless, and will definitely help to bring you closer to God. Because although Nicolosi Jr. doesn't like to talk too much in terms of Catholicism, all of the therapies that family and that sort of dynasty, that strand of therapy have created, they're all, I like to say, Catholic inflected. They're about, you know, and many of the stuff that's most effective is about replacing bad habits with good habits. And there's no religion that has more habits and ritual than ours. whether it's the rosary, whether it's, you know, mass, you know, the repetition, all the rest of it, that the way that it can help to structure your thoughts and break addictive rituals is very powerful.
Thank you.
Milo, would you say that doing the Psalms and Proverbs, recording them, that has that helped you to properly form your faith at a deeper level? And has that helped your interior life as well, just doing those little projects with the Church Militant?
Yeah, look, I've been a commentator, I guess you would say, for a decade. You know, I'm the best in the business. I've been everywhere. I've done everything. I've made a fortune. You know, I've been one of the most famous people in the country. Now I'm not. And I've got the...
I love it.
But look, I have had it all and I have not had it all. And now I have like somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. As of today, I'm somewhere in the middle. And I was not any happier, that, you know, spiritually at the top or the bottom than I am now, because they're not really related. So what I have had the opportunity to do with Church Militant is pick projects that are better for, I mean, selfishly really, but that are better for my interior spiritual life. I could sit on the download desk at Church Militant every night of the week and just mouth off about things. And I do sometimes when I'm up there.
I noticed.
But that's not, thanks. But I don't really find myself growing particularly quickly or in a meaningful direction, unless I'm on with Christine Niles, of course. I found that picking projects where I can spend time thinking and reading and learning and then sharing that with others, that's really powerful for me. I have to, since I've been giving you this interview, I've realized, you know, my accent flies all over the place. And if you're thinking, well, why do I want this sort of Madonna, Gillian Anderson style mid-Atlantic fake accent recording the Psalms and Proverbs, I promise I call a British person before I get into the booth every time.
Yeah, I get it.
No, I do. I do. Oh, help me. You know, every time. It's definitely been the thing that I've done in the last few years that has made the most difference to my spiritual, to my interior life, because it's not just, you know, gobbing off about the news, but rather I have to, every time I, you know, every single psalm is incredible and bizarre and wonderful and moving in some new different way.
Milo, we gotta take a quick break. I hear the music. We're talking to Milo regarding his Psalms and the Proverbs that he did for Church Militant. I want you to go to churchmilitant.com. Buy them now, not later, now. Why? God's word, man. That's why. Not because of him, because it's God's word. We come back, we're going to ask him some more questions that'll inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're back talking with Milo Yiannopoulos. He was very, very popular in the conservative circles for many years, and most especially because, again, he was a gay conservative, and now he's a total fired-up Catholic disciple for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's now
and I've never been less popular.
And that's a good reason not to be. I love it. That's awesome. Yep.
Milo, have you looked at what would you say about the apostolate called Courage? It's a Roman Catholic apostolate for men and women.
Mother who Harvey. Experienced, yeah,
yeah. Have you looked at some of their work and stuff? Is it helpful? Would you recommend people go to Courage?
I don't want to comment okay, authoritatively, since I don't know them personally.
Sure.
As far as I am understanding, they do a lot of very, very good work. Yep. And it is a really good first step. All that's really going to make the difference is, are you personally invested and sincerely ready to make the changes? Because if you're not, and you're just kind of dipping your toe in,
yeah,
doesn't matter where you go, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
Got it.
The second thing is, if you are, you
got
to be ready and you got to mean it. You got to mean
it. Of course.
The second thing is, are you one of those people for whom prayer is more effective, or are you one of those people for whom therapy, quote unquote, is more effective? For me, it was prayer. For most people, it's therapy. I think because perhaps I'd already done that difficult business of introspection and found out what was wrong with me already. I already knew. So, most people don't really recall or simply don't know what it was that set them off on this path, and they need to find that out. And sometimes a priest is not the best person to help do that with them. Once you've discovered if prayer or therapy or some blend of the two is going to be the most effective way, and you know, some people find that they are motivated by prayer and by God and by their spiritual life, but the nuts and bolts needs to happen in the therapist's office. Other people are completely the other way around. Once you've found all that out and then found a good priest and a good therapist, that matters a lot more than any specific organization. But some people do find it very helpful to meet up with other people who are in a similar situation and at least get some initial signposts. If you get that from Courage, great. As far as I understand, they do great work. I haven't really interacted with them very much. From my point of view, I think the best thing to do is just find a priest who's not... who's difficult to rattle, and then find any, basically any therapist who's trained by either of the Nicolosis, you're gonna be fine. Yeah. You're gonna be all right. I was very, very blessed and very lucky because I came up to the Midwest and got to spend some time with Father Kalchick, PJ Kalchick.
Sure.
And he actually took my general confession over the space of 2 weeks. If you can believe that we got it done.
Wow.
If you can believe that we got it done that quickly. Can you believe that we got it done that quickly? I thought we were going to be there for years. But no, we got over the space of 2 weeks. We got through that process, and then he was kind enough to join me, and I had a couple of other friends. We had a private mass for my receiving communion for the first time in 10 years.
Awesome.
When that was done, that was October. So no, it's been. I will say, I was making a joke earlier, you know, I've never been less popular. It's not really true, but even if it were, it's quite something to wake up and not mind looking at yourself in the mirror rather than looking and primping and preening and waxing, tweaking and plucking to try to distract yourself from looking yourself behind the eyes, if that makes sense.
Yes, it
does. If you know what I mean.
Yes.
Being able to be looking, but it's like, I don't mind that guy. I mean, he's got a lot of work to do, but he's basically okay. Or he's going to be okay. That's a new thing for me, I suppose. 36 years into life, I'm finally able to do that. So that's all I'm really focused on at the moment.
Milo, let me jump in one more time. I'm a jumper. I want to know something. You're working with Church Militant, which is always a great organization to share the gospel with people. You've had a huge influence on people for a decade, not by sharing the gospel in the sense of what you're doing now. What are you doing to try to influence a world that acts like God doesn't exist? In other words, what's the best approach? I want to hear your thoughts on that.
It's very tempting in my position, sorry to sound like this and sorry to speak like this, but having achieved so much.
Of course.
You know, like just killing feminism for two generations of young men, helping to put a president in office, you know, his national director said I was one of the seven people who helped to do it. And I don't know if that's true really, but having achieved so much, it's very tempting to say, well, I've paid my dues and I think I'm going to retreat into a spiritual life and look after me for the next few decades. I'm trying not to do that, although it's tempting. One of the main things I think I'm going to be doing is probably another college tour. And I will probably be more focused on Pray the Gay Away. I went to Penn State recently just for a little taster. I just dipped my toe back in to see if I still like it. And I liked it.
Good.
So I went there and of course, you know, because it's a publicly funded university, they screamed and cried and resisted. And after about a year and a half, we managed to get it done. And they had to pay me, you know, reasonable market speaking fee, which for someone like me is kind of a lot of money. And then, you know, we had ticket sales and a couple people phoned up with these incredible donations. So we ended up, you know, with I think $22,000 or $23,000 that came in altogether. And I put it up on a screen and I said, the Milo Clinic, which is my name for the center I'm going to open in Florida.
Good.
Thanks, Pennsylvania State University, for this generous donation. Your kindness will save dozens of young men from the dangerous homosexual urges. The college authorities went crazy. This is probably the first time, I think it's the first time probably in 50 years, maybe 100 years, where the American taxpayer has directly funded conversion therapy. I intend to do a lot more of that. So
I love it. Keep it up. I love it.
Yeah. So I'm going to do a lot more of that. That's one thing. So I got some ideas.
Great.
Good. Yeah. So you answered my next question. I was going to ask you, are you going to move into some type of, you know, Dr. Joseph Nicolosi type reparative therapy work? You just answered the question. Yes, you are. And you want to set up.
I mean, I'm not going to be doing it. I'm certainly in no position to do that for anybody else. But one thing I am good at is kind of getting attention for things and putting, you know, putting pieces of organizations together, putting bits of the puzzle together. So I'm going to open a center in Florida down where I live.
Excellent.
So, you know, we'll get therapists in. It certainly won't be me, obviously, but we'll get therapists in. We'll have an in-house priest, you know, maybe one of the canceled priests that needs a home and needs a good ministry and good work to do. You know, we'll have daily masses and services, and we'll have all of the world-class therapy, and we'll start having residential treatment programs. I haven't really advertised that too much. I've said in interviews a few times. We don't really have a website or anything to speak of, but we've had $250,000 come in already for that. Awesome. So that makes me think that when I actually do try to raise money, we might do okay. So that's something to look forward to.
Well, when you do, brother, come back and we want to promote it, okay?
Absolutely.
Jesse.
Milo, you'll be the first to know, guys, I promise.
Thanks.
Milo, what about... he's not listening to the program because we don't want him to get a big head, but has Michael Voris had an impact on your reconversion?
Have you ever had that sort of relationship where you feel like somebody kind of like low key saved your life, and as a result you can't stand to be in the same room as them? There's just this wave of resentment and loads of things, like, you know, just sort of like as bubbles up, you just want to stab them in the throat, you know. What can I ever do? Michael obviously had an enormous. He's our friend, so we can joke, can't we?
Yeah.
He had an enormous. He's the single person on earth most who's affected this trajectory of mine the most, and he knows that, and he knows how grateful I am for that. It does make me absolutely hate his guts sometimes, but we have like a funny kind of fraternal relationship now where I like pretend to tease and dislike him, and he's just like whatever. And then occasionally he'll turn around and go, read the last line in James's epistle. You're just a pawn.
Yeah.
And I'll go read it. It's like, oh, you know, somebody who brings a brother back from the brink, you know, is good for your own soul. He's like, you're just a chess piece, brother.
It's like, good one.
Like a month of me sniping and making jokes and undermining him in front of his employees and being catty. And he'll just nuke me with one line. So you're just a pawn.
Yep. I love it.
But he is, look, you know as well as I do that almost every Catholic organization, especially the media organizations, is hopelessly compromised.
Yes, big time.
The closer you get to the magisterium, the worse it gets, unfortunately.
Yep.
Church Militant is one of the only places, and I've been in every conservative media organization in the country. I've either worked for them or consulted with them or written for them. I know them all. Mm-hmm. And there's probably two or three media organizations that are not poisonous, cancerous, toxic, whatever. Church Militant is the real deal.
Yeah, I agree.
It's why I look, it's not the biggest, it's not the most glamorous, but it has the best people. They are the most honest, decent, and good Catholics working in media, with the exception of yourselves and a couple of other radio hosts that I have discovered. You have to say that, don't you?
We paid him for that. Terry, send him a check. Send him a check, Terry.
I'm just kidding. Psalms and Prophets available now. I'm just kidding. The concentration of decent, God-fearing, wonderful people in that building is just mind-blowing. And you know, there isn't, in an organization of 65 people, there isn't a bad one, which just never happens. Everybody there is kind and lovely, and I'm very happy and grateful that they have decided to partner with as unwieldy an institution as Miley Annopoulos. We're very happy brothers in the fight.
Milo, let me jump in with the last quick question. I never let anybody go without Bishop Sheen. I went to Fulton Sheen's funeral. Full Sheen head. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah. Did any of Fulton Sheen's material touch your soul? Question. I have no idea.
Oh, of course. So I have a friend who runs a think tank in Washington, D.C., who has been sending me his stuff for years. Big Roman, and he's before I even really was touched by his spiritual message, he influenced me a lot in public speaking, in delivery, in this amazing way. He had, you know, the throat slashers in his thing about, you know, the false compassion, which is my favorite of his talks. False compassion, you know, he's talking about endless compassion for the thieves, the muggers, the throat slashers. his diction and his delivery had a huge impact on me as a public speaker, as a stand-up, as a lecturer. And then I guess the spiritual components caught up with me later, and suddenly I'm like, okay, well, that's all fine, but that's not really what he's talking about now. Probably the Catholic of the last 100 years has affected me the most, for sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Praise
God. What a guy.
Milo, you're a good man. Thank you so much. And I want to remind everybody to pick up the CDs or downloads from Church Militant on the Psalms and Proverbs that Milo did recordings of. It's under $40 to get it. It's cheap. Do it because this is inspired. It's God's word, not because of him. And I want to thank you for taking the time to join us here at the Terry and Jesse Show. Your thoughts, Jess? Are you going to ask
me? Milo, thanks a lot for coming on, brother. Happy Holy Advent, and have a Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next time.
Milo, don't leave yet. Jesse, what state should we be living in, brother?
State of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin.
You got it. All right. God love you guys.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. God
thank
bless.
You again, Milo. Take care. Thanks again for joining us here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We want you to know that that'll be on our podcast by going to vmpr.org to check out any of the shows. Thanks again for joining us. May God richly bless you and your family.